The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One of the stories we're following is that of Bill Belichick and whether or not he's going to become the coach, the next coach of University of North Carolina. Sources are saying that the problem, Mike, right now, they have a deal on the table. But the problem seems to be, as you mentioned, the potential role for his son, who is the current Washington defensive coordinator, Stephen Belichick, and Carolina's name, image, and likeness resources. Let me translate that for you. How much money do we have to go spend on this? Because that's how we're going to get players. Then Belichick's salary and resources for the staff, which means how many guys can I bring in and what are the resources for that? I got to tell you guys, like, that's not a little stuff. That's a lot.
Right.
Okay? So Belichick is basically saying, look, I get where I think I should be and whether you guys can pay it. We know this. Ask Kirby Smart. Ask Nick Saban. Ask Ryan Day. It's the resources around you in your program that allow you to do all these things. So that is apparently what is holding this deal back from getting done, at least right now.
Alabama's, I think, the only team not in the playoff right now that's in that top 10 as far as the presumed NIL valuation and what the money is they can spend. Yeah, you mentioned it. They want to have a general manager. That's the position that we've seen other teams now are putting into play. So you're going to have your general manager. And they, by the way, you see that? By the way, he has a non-compete and you have a buyout for your general manager. So no one can come and take him. I mean, to say that Bill Belichick's had some free time on his hands, you know, as I said, to come up with his 400-page manifesto of what the Belichick rule of North Carolina would look like, I've got to feel there's some Board of Trustees folks who really, really want him, and some folks going, hell no. You just moved on from 73-year-old Mac Brown, the best coach Carolina ever had. And, you know, he, by the way, said, if I lose my fastball, I'll step down. When he didn't, you realize they fired him by phone from Maui? The athletic director and the team chancellor out there for one of the preseason basketball tournaments. So they gave him the boot, not even face-to-face. I think it's a bad it's a bad maybe situation to step into. Seems like there's a lot of chefs trying to cook the stew up there in Carolina, but somebody wants to turn the keys over to Belichick.
Also in the National Football League, Mike and I are watching Roger Goodell as we speak.
Blah, 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 blah. I say nothing. Blah, 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 blah. I talk in circles. Blah, 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 blah.
He was just asked about the games overseas. They're going to be playing in Berlin. But also, Mike, he was just asked, and we haven't discussed this because, again, it's a civil litigation case as of right now. But he was asked about Jay-Z. For those of you who don't know, Jay-Z and the NFL have a great relationship. He's helped the NFL with a lot of the stuff that they're doing from an entertainment standpoint, certainly the Super Bowl. Roger Goodell response, we are aware of the civil litigation and Jay-Z's strong response. To sum it up, the relationship's not changing. So that is from Roger Goodell today. Now, again, civil is completely different than criminal. We know that. But that came out, I think, earlier this week, and everybody's like, huh, what's going on? And now kind of everybody is talking about this. Huh. But Roger Goodell was asked about it today, and that was his response.
Yeah, I just, you know, okay, we'll see how that one plays out. I would love to be, you know, if we get, next time we get to the Super Bowl, we'd love to be one of those people, get the microphone. When are you going to fix the refs? You know what I mean? It just, to me, that's the thing which needs the most attention right
remove
now.
Remove that gentleman, please.
Yeah, I told you the time in the Tokyo Dome, I got the microphone as Arthur Blank was talking to me, and then Goodell was the moderator. He's like, is there a question? I'm like, well, I was just talking to Arthur. But anyway, in the case of the NFL, we were talking earlier about they don't want to expand review. They want to keep the games moving. Roger was asked about that. Yeah, I mean, how about reviewing the thing that's the most important thing? Yes, I know you don't want to. You like where the games are. Everything in sports now is around that 3 hour, you know, sort of. That's as you want it, no longer than 3 hours, 5 minutes, right, Carl? But it's such a big moment in games, and refs screw it up time and time again. So no review. The face mask came up after the Cowboys-Bengals game where Joe Burrow's head was turned 180 degrees. And no flags. So a lot of stuff the refs need to do better on. And the NFL needs to do better on.
No doubt. All right. You are welcome to hit us up and chime in on any of these things at 404-726-0929. That is our text line. Find us on social media as well. Mike is at Mike Bell ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Let's talk some dogs. So how do you prepare for two teams? Because during the season, think about this. You know your schedule. You can plan ahead. They are scouting ahead, even weeks ahead. We've heard Kirby in the past talk about, hey, we've been getting ready for Georgia Tech. When they used to run that triple option, Mike, weeks in advance because they knew that was coming up.
And sometimes they'd schedule Georgia Southern just so they'd have it on the schedule before they went to a pro-style offense.
I just feel like, you know what? You got to get your team ready. And I'm sure the next time we hear from Kirby, he's going to be talking a lot about this. Mike, that includes your quarterback. That means getting healthy. And it also means maybe some of the fundamental things that you feel like your team hasn't really been successful with as you head into these playoffs. Guys, there's no question the Dogs are good enough to win this thing. I think they are in the easier side of the bracket, if you ask me. And it's not going to be easy, but I think they can get there. But that's what I think they're going to do, Mike. And then if it's Notre Dame, they'll have time to prepare and get ready for Notre Dame.
I think that, you know, Mykel Williams has been banged up all season. We've kind of realized that he's been playing. Certainly ETN, you know, able to really grit it out with a rib injury. So those are a couple of guys that you want to get right. Also, I think you saw Kirby, one of the big memes from this weekend of college football championships was him running down the sideline while his, you know, his secondary was like, ah, what's going on here? He's going to do some coaching. And he, you know, like Saban, he's going to spend time with the DBs because those guys have got to tighten it up. I mean, Smile Munden and, you know, that's linebacker core. But getting back to Malachi Starks is better than some of the things you put on tape against, I think, Texas, you could argue.
Yeah.
There's some things that have to get tightened up in that department. And as you brought up yesterday, yes, he is the most inexperienced quarterback of anybody who's in the playoffs. But Gunnar Stockton now gets 21 days to get basically all the reps and all the work.
Yeah. Is that enough?
I think it is. I mean, would I feel better if Todd Monken was the OC? Yes.
Okay.
I'm not the biggest Bobo fan.
Do you not trust him?
No, I don't trust Bobo.
Okay.
You know I don't. But I think that he's going to hopefully put some wrinkles in that accentuate what this guy can do. I thought some interesting stuff from David Pollack, and we'll try to get Pollack on before the next round of the playoffs. But David was saying that Carson Beck, not that he's detached, because you know the players love Carson Beck, but he is a different kind of energy. Gunnar Stockton is a more of emotional leader, and maybe that was part of the springboard of the energy when he got in the game. Because not saying that Carson Beck's detached, but it's just Pollack brought up the point that it's different vibe with Gunnar Stockton.
I don't disagree. That's why I said they got a spark when he came in. I'm not mistaking that for production. He didn't throw for 300 yards, but there was this thing that happened.
Right. Sense of urgency. Right?
Correct. That's what I sensed when he came into the game. And then they drove the field, and again, they started making things happen. I agree with him on that assessment. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. Let's talk real quick about the Heisman, Mike, because we now know what this is going to look like. Travis Hunter's going to win the Heisman, right? He's going to win the Heisman.
Well, not so fast, because one thing we do know about the Heisman is, well, the regional nature of some of the writers and some of the media. Guys, there are people in the Northeast that have no business being Heisman Trophy voters. I think we've touched on that a number of times. Will there be an anti-Deion sentiment that screws Hunter out of it? I don't think so, but I think I'm not saying it's going to maybe be the slam dunk some folks think it will be.
Yeah, well, here's the deal, though. I mean, I love the kid, Gentee, at Boise State.
And it's great that he's going to – that a kid from Boise State gets to go to the – not to say you should be happy just to be there, but it's kind of cool that he just gets to be – you know, getting the accolades of being a finalist.
Well, he deserves to be there. I mean, what he's doing from a running back standpoint is impressive. But I will say this. When's the last time you have seen a guy impact both sides of the ball and play every snap, every game in college football? You name him.
Right.
It hadn't happened.
By the way, there was an interesting podcast. I forget who he was on with.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to say Ryan Clark, and he was talking to Travis Hunter about had he gone to Florida State, he thinks maybe things would have been completely different.
Sure.
And that, you know, Deion allowing him to do what he does. You know, if he goes FSU, they let him play both ways. Does Norvell screw that up? You know, going to Jackson State, then eventually Colorado, lets it shine through. Yeah, I think he's going to win it. But you just never know. There's always some weirdness with the media. But, yeah, that's the way it should be. I mean, this guy is the true definition of the Heisman and with all the things he's doing.
I think that is what makes Deion, right? He's not trying to put a square peg in a round hole. He basically told a kid, Georgia boy, by the way, and that's another reason why I'd love to see him win the Heisman, right here in Collins High School. I think, Mike, he said to him, you can do whatever you want to do. Everybody else is like, you'll be a DB. Oh, well, you only play receiver. Deion was like, I did both. You can do whatever you want to do. And then he went and played incredibly at an incredible high level. By the way, defensive player of the year in the Big 12. So, I mean, on top of the fact that he's a Heisman candidate and should be the winner, I only bring that up to say, again, this was one of those situations where when he went to Jackson State, everybody said, what is he doing?
Right. Well, I mean, and it was a statement. You know, I think certainly believing in what Deion was selling. And now it's just a matter of, where does he go? We'll talk about it coming up in Guy Talk because we're playing the Raiders. By the way, right now, based on strength of schedule, and it can change by the end of the year, but right now the Raiders hold the number one pick. No reason if you're a Raider fan to want them to beat us on Monday night.
No. Nope.
But that's, as we know, not the way the NFL works. But do you go with Shedeur Sanders?
Yes.
Or, I mean, I think you got to kind of reset with the quarterback. But, man, you talk about a dynamic athlete that could be, you know, literally the next superstar in the NFL in Travis Hunter, something we haven't seen. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's – or do you try to – the Raiders have gotten so burned with free agency in quarterbacks in the past. Maybe that's not the idea. You just go with Shedeur Sanders and don't make it too complicated.
You can't. And by the way, this is, again, where I think Tom Brady comes into play. Now, we know he's got a small percentage of that organization, you know, as far as ownership. But I also think just, Mike, his opinion is going to be valued there a lot more. This just in, by the way, Jalen Walker, the 2024 Buckus Award winner, which goes to the most impactful linebacker in college football. The Dogs have just put that out. So
cool.
Yeah, pretty damn cool. Again, and it speaks to Kirby and recruiting these guys, Mike, developing them, and then getting them ready for the NFL. So the Dogs, Buckus Award winner, Jalen Walker, congratulations. All right, we're coming back. We got plenty more to dive into, including what are the Hawks going to do tonight, man? Trey said he didn't want to embrace the enemy, right? The bad
guy.
He's
the villain in the garden. They're a bunch of they say blank you at Mets games for crying out loud.
Well, remember what Trey said the last time we played the Knicks when he told Knicks fans at our arena, get your blanks out of
right
here?
Right on.
Isn't that embracing that?
That's being a little Reggie Miller, right? I love it.
All
do
right.
it.
We'll come back. Hawks in action tonight. It's NBA Cup. They're in New York City. It is Dukes and Bell. Remember 2021? All right, I'm just asking. Like, it's a while ago. But that's when the Knicks suffered a 5-game loss in a series against our Hawks in the Eastern Conference first-round series.
It was glorious.
It was. And, Mike, it set off this, I want to say this frenzy about Trae Young. Right,
it set off like you felt like it was the national coming out party.
Yeah,
the Trey is the next big thing in the NBA, or he's going to be one of the top 10 stars in the league. And then, unfortunately, through no fault of his own, the team just went backwards.
It did by not making necessary moves to improve. Remember, they stayed the course and came back, and things got worse. And then it was like, okay, we need to trade. And then you had an owner at that time, well, still, who is saying maybe we're not going to spend. Yeah. And so we find ourselves in
a fan spit at the dude. You had people saying blank you. You had Knicks elbowing, throwing elbows. I mean, Solomon Hill was ready to choke somebody out.
So that, but here's
it was a hell of a. It was a really, for guys who don't remember, it was a pretty wild for a 4-1 series win. It was pretty dramatic.
All right, so Tom Thibodeau is still the coach. That's who was the coach then. He's still the coach now. One thing about Tibbs is, like, tonight, Mike, to your point, we beat them earlier in the season here at home. And I kind of get the sense like that's probably what's going to happen tonight. I'm not talking about dirty. This isn't Bad Boys, you know, Detroit Pistons.
Right.
But I do think they're like, you know what? Let's be rough with this dude. Let's make sure that he feels it a little bit, because we didn't do that. And this game, for those of you who say, oh, what's the big deal? It's NBA Cup. Guys want to win this thing. You're in it. Why not win it, right?
So right. I mean, like, it's kind of like the way we approached, remember, Atlanta United? Remember we played that game against, who was it, from Mexico City? Club America. It's like, hell, man. If we're gonna play for a trophy, let's win the friggin' thing. And it was a great game.
It was. Was it U.S. Cup or what was that?
Hell, if I remember, this is Campeones.
Yes. Yeah. You're right.
They made up a tournament and we won it. And we said we'll take it.
So the winner tonight, all right, advances to Saturday semifinals in Vegas against the winner of Tuesday night's Milwaukee Bucks and Magic game. Well, the Bucks won. So they're waiting, all right?
You see did you see OKC take out the Mavs last night?
It wasn't even close.
Woo! And bad night for Luka to have a bad night.
Yeah, it really was. So the Knicks last played on Monday. We know the Hawks, you know, they played the other night, but again, no Bogey, no Jalen Johnson. And this should be interesting tonight. Coverage begins at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and then the tips at 7 o'clock. Now, if the Hawks lose, they'll be back here, I think, playing at home on Sunday. But this is kind of within the means of the NBA schedule, right? They've adjusted things, and these games are still being played. Remember, the court is kind of will be different tonight up there in New York, as it's been different for the Hawks when they played at home. But, Mike, I think, like, just thinking ahead, Thibodeau is going to try to have a physical game with Trae Young. He knows he's leading the league in assists, and he kind of, you know, got everybody involved the last time they played. I think that's the fundamental difference in this game tonight. And Jalen Brunson, by the way, was held in check by Dyson Daniels the last time they played. As a matter of fact, Jalen Brunson was frustrated with Dyson Daniels here the last time we played.
I think this team has certainly got the defensive mindset, which, you know, if you go back to the 2021 team, would you say that this team is better equipped to handle what this Knicks team looks like now?
Because
this Knicks team is even more physical, you could argue. Different, you know, Hartenstein's not there. They've added some pieces. They've added, you know, Cat and everything else. But I think if you look at the mindset that you need, it's almost like this team is better built if, you know, everyone stays healthy for the playoffs than they've ever been. And hopefully not play in, right? But playoffs.
Yeah.
Because of what Dyson Daniels brings. And now that DeAndre Hunter seems to be in like this happy place where he plays every night and he's in the mix.
I agree. Well, I think the defensive burden of him having to guard the other team's best player every night is now gone. That's Dyson Daniels. And so it's allowed him to come off the bench and be what we expected him to be offensively. By the way, it's funny because whether you know this or not, even if the Hawks lose tonight, each player is going to get $51,000, Mike.
Oh.
If they advance to the championship and win, each player receives $514,000 apiece.
Now, old school, not me, because, you know, I was relatively indifferent to this thing. I thought it was kind of cheesy that you'd add a put out a $500,000 carrot to get your guys to do their jobs before the All-Star break. But it has generated some juice in the fact that LeBron and company won it last year and that you're going to Vegas. I mean, look, by definition, you shouldn't have to do this in your regular season. Maybe you just shorten your regular season and you figure out a way to not do load management, make all the games matter. That said, they're here. So if I got a chance to win $500,000, hell yeah, I'm motivated.
That's why the intensity is up.
Bingo.
That honestly, that's why. I mean, you can say for guys like, I don't know, Giannis, right? He's making $50 million a year. It doesn't mean. But guys, I'm telling you, I played at the park where we've had $2 on a game and it got serious. So for $500,000 per player,
right?
Yeah, some of these guys at the end of the bench are like, yo, let's go. 404-726-0929. I would love to see Trae come out tonight and taunt the crowd and get going, Mike. And if the Hawks win, do exactly what he did when they came here and tell all those Knicks fans to get the blank out. Y'all got to go. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all got to go.
That was great. Our man Tigger from our sister station, V103, on the mic with our man Trae. I thought that's great because that's where it's at. And it was for the fans, loved it. There was certainly an amped up atmosphere there at State Farm that night. Hopefully Trae can – summing up some of that 2021 you started to the conversation talking about.
They're gonna, and you know what? They're going to come out. They're going to come out booing him and doing all the stuff.
Course.
Yeah, because that's what it is. And as we said, this game feels like it has a little extra oomph to it. All right, Hawks got beat on Sunday, by the way.
We're not talking about that one.
No, it was ugly. It really was.
Well, now I can't really say it was low. It was kind of like a load management type situation. I know we hate that, but it seemed like some guys got some time off.
Trae Young becomes the first NBA player in the last 45 years to collect at least 30 points, 20 assists, while draining at least 5 3-pointers last Friday. That was, of course, against the Lakers, where it was crazy. 31-20 assist game for him in that overtime win. Hopefully, he's got the confidence tonight, and the Hawks can get a dub.
He's number one in assists, as you pointed out, in the league.
Yeah.
You know, which, you know, I would like to think that matters for something. And certainly, you know, if the points, if his 3-point shooting continues to improve, then he'll jump up. Right now, he is 35th in scoring in the league at 20.9.
But the team is winning.
But the thing is, who cares? Because it's a sum of its parts, and everybody's involved. We've touched on this. I think he trusts his teammates. I know that the coach is letting the younger guys play. And it's just they actually finish games, dude. There's more clutch. I don't want to attribute all of this to Dyson Daniels, but darn if he didn't seem like he sparked it, hadn't he?
He has. He's done it. Listen, and it's contagious. Hell, Bogey had a game where he had 5 steals.
Right.
Like, it's contagious.
I saw it on, I think it was Dennis Scott. I forget who was talking about on NBA TV. The only thing with Trae is the turnovers. But the thing is, he's getting more minutes.
Yeah, he is.
No, it's kind of without DeJounte out there, Trae's going to have the ball in his hand more. So, by nature, the turnovers are up. But if he can tighten that up, too, that wouldn't hurt.
All right, guys. We got a lot more to get to. Falcon Report at the top of the hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And again, this hour brought to you by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. As we continue to move along, if you're just joining us, we're keeping an eye out on this Bill Belichick situation. As apparently, it's close, but it's not done with him becoming potentially the new head football coach at the University of North Carolina.
The reports now at ESPN saying, quote, the ball is in Belichick's court. As we joked around.
What, is that the final offer?
Well, I mean, maybe Carolina came back with some counter, and they're throwing it back to him. Some of the stuff, I don't know if there's a sticking point about his son, who's, you know, you could argue is not yet qualified to be a head college football coach after just 1 year as a DC out at the University of Washington. But that seems to be one of the things ESPN is reporting. They've been ongoing. They've been talking for over a week now. And no joke, guys, we're not making this up. He literally came with a binder of 400 pages of things that he said, this is how we're going to fix North Carolina football. And a lot of this is about establishing a true, you know, collective that he controls, and he's got say over who's going to be the GM and all that other stuff. Because now, yeah, you have GMs in college football.
Yeah, it's the newness in what we're seeing in college football, but it's going to become the norm because there's just too much going on for a head coach to handle when you start talking about all the NIL and the collectives and all the other stuff that's going on. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
Well, I think we've definitely gotten into some strange territory in college. Sounds like one of the top recruits in the country who signed with the Big Ten school got to pick who the offensive coordinator was going to be.
Oh, come on.
We'll tell you about that. Coming up, stick that. So that's called the tease. Coming up in Guy Talk also. But wait, there's more. We talked about it at the end of the show yesterday. You know, do you really care who the single season sack leader is in the NFL? Does it matter to you as an NFL fan?
Listen, I think it's a nice feather in your cap.
Yeah.
And if you start talking about Hall of Fame, those are the guys that we know that had great individual seasons.
Well, the dude that used to have the record is still in his bag about how he lost the record. You'll hear the audio with two legends coming up next. Where to play is play. If you're used to us being at Flowery Branch, guys, that's tomorrow because with the later work week, with the Falcons flying out to Vegas, we'll be up tomorrow talking with Coach, and we'll get into the things we've been discussing all week about what's up with a shot at Penix at QB, what's up with the defense, and what are we doing? All those questions. Hopefully we'll get some answers to tomorrow. That's why we're here in studio. Real quick, I was just telling Carl, coming out of commercial break, is it just me or is Facebook like turning into like Tinder?
What?
Chris, have you noticed this, Oren? Maybe it's just me. I don't know. All of a sudden, every time when I log on to my Facebook page, I get like people you may know, you know, like, you know, you always have like, the, you know, that's part of Facebook. You might know somebody who's friends with other people.
Sure.
You know.
They're trying to connect you.
And lately, it's just been nothing but smoking hot chicks that I have like maybe one contact with. And it was some like D-bag who worked at a nightclub like 20 years ago in Buckhead.
The algorithm, Mike. Sometimes the algorithm just sort of creeps in weird ways.
I don't know. I mean,
I do know Facebook installed its own dating service.
Right.
Yeah, they did.
A couple of years ago.
No, I showed Carl. I'm like, no, I don't know this. I mean, no person remotely close to me knows the person, and they're all like something, like 20-something, 30-something, generally knockouts. I showed Carl this just during the break.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, again, I'm happily married, for God's sakes, and I have no interest for this kind of content.
Of course.
Put my phone down. How dare they? Thank you. Anyway, I was just curious.
So you're done looking at that stuff.
You're darn right I am. And that plunging neckline and that amazing bikini body of hers.
Wait a minute.
She lives in Albuquerque. Who the hell do I know in Albuquerque?
Well, how do you know where she lives?
It says she's from Albuquerque.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But again, are you getting this or is it just me? Chris, so it is happening now? They're trying to like basically pump some air into like maybe getting you to do their other stuff they're doing on Facebook?
Well, I will say this, Mike. They do tend to target you based on what your search history
Uh-oh.
Is.
Oh.
So.
What if I like sexy women in general?
Uh-oh.
And I give like a thumbs up. You know, to one of my friends who's lost some weight, right?
Okay.
Yeah. You know, hey, you look great.
Is that what you're doing?
Well, you know, those people that don't sell those healthcare products, yeah, they're relentless on Facebook.
They are.
Hey, so-and-so just like, king, I like it. Just stop sending me that stuff. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just want to know if it was just me. So do you haven't had any of this stuff?
No.
I think you're being targeted, Mike.
I'm the only guy who's getting links to hot women I've never met before. All right.
You're getting targeted.
I don't know what's going on. Anywho, hey, we were talking about this earlier, the new world of college football. Now, there are some barriers or guardrails, whatever you want to call it, parameters coming down the pike. There's a federal judge who has to rule. We were talking about this off the air yesterday. There's supposed to be a sort of self-imposed from the NCAA salary cap they're going to have. There'll be X amount of dollars that each team is going to be able to split up percentage-wise, and now they're just trying to figure out how much of that will be your collective, how much is actually run by the actual university. There's still some finer points to be figured out. In the meantime, I think we could all agree that the tail is wagging the dog, right, with the way players are dictating tempo. Well, the news, and this comes from the Bro Bible website, the Michigan Wolverines were reportedly set to hire Chip Lindsey as their next offensive coordinator after they dumped Kirk Campbell. Their offense basically went backwards after Jim Harbaugh left for the NFL. But how Lindsey became the choice is a little interesting. The guy was the coach at North Carolina for Drake May the year before he left for the NFL, so that's not too bad. Some would say Drake May was already established. But according to Rivals.com, Michigan consulted with incoming quarterback Bryce Underwood. He's the guy that got the gazillion-dollar deal from NIL that was underwritten by Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports. According to Rivals, they basically asked Bryce, who'd you like to be your offensive coordinator?
And he chose?
And he said, yeah, I guess you're okay with that. Bryce approves of the hire. I'm down with Lindsey.
So I know Coach Lindsey.
That's crazy.
Only because, Mike, he was the head coach at Lasseter High School.
Mm-hmm.
Before he got into the college ranks.
Right.
And he was a guy that I think a lot of folks here locally might know who he is, but he has been a really good coordinator over the years. I'm just surprised that you're even asking players this question and giving them the power to do that. Chip Lindsey's like a lot of these guys. He's been around. I mean, you know, from high school to high school, then he gets into college, Southern Miss, Arizona State.
But he's put the work in. He's worked that resume, and now all your sweat equity comes up to the whims of a 17-year-old.
I don't understand. Like, I get the NIL and what your estimated value is, but I don't understand how you're allowing these guys or potentially allowing them to select your coordinators or other coaches on the staff. That makes no sense.
According to Rivals, Bryce approved of the hire. He had phone conversations with all the candidates. So basically the 17-year-old to be 18-year-old.
This is a kid that could leave next year.
Was interviewing grown men to be the offensive coordinator at Michigan. What a world we're living in right now. Look, I've always felt these guys should be paid, but like as we said, the wheels are just so far off right now. Eventually we will get some. We'll never get back to where we were, but we'll put a little bit of the toothpaste back in the tube. End of the show yesterday, I was telling Carl, is the audio listenable? Can you understand some of it, Orin? It is Brett Favre at a memorabilia signing, and Mark Gastineau is there as well. And the reason this thing went viral is Friday, the next 30 for 30 on ESPN, it highlights the New York Jets' famed sack exchange, the team that never could ever get to the Super Bowl in the 80s, but had tons of sacks. Mark Gastineau and Marty Lyons and Abdul Rahim and who am I forgetting?
Marty Lyons.
Joe Klecko.
Right. Abdul Salam.
Abdul Salam. That's I always screw that up.
Raheem was a hooper.
That's right. I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a Giants fan. But that's the extent of my Jets knowledge of the sack exchange. But everybody knows Mark Gastineau. He had the sack dance. He was dating Brigitte Nielsen after she and Rocky fell out. And the guy's kind of an egomaniac, and his life's kind of a hot mess. He had a daughter that was doing a reality show. Either way, they follow him. And he's still in his bag that his sack total was surpassed by Michael Strahan in that infamous game when Brett Favre took a dive. Take a listen as Mark Gastineau confronts Brett Favre.
Now you
tell me. I thought we met a long time ago. At least I saw you.
Right.
How you doing?
When you fell down for him. I'm going to get my sack back, dude.
You probably would hurt me.
Well, I don't care. You hurt me. You hurt me. You hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
You really hurt me.
Yeah, I hear you.
You hurt me, Brett.
We got to get back to this, Brett. I'm sorry.
Okay, Brett. And luckily, one of Brett's people's like,
anybody will tell you.
One of Brett's people kind of like, okay, we're going to get out of this. Mark Gastineau sounds unhinged.
He was, yeah. He was dead serious?
Yes. Two guys already tied Mark Gastineau's sack record. Justin Houston's one of those guys. Yeah. TJ Watt now, by the way, is tied with Michael Strahan with 22.5 for the single season sack record. We're never really as hung up on the individual records in the NFL like we are in baseball, because in the NFL, it's more about the team result in the Super Bowl. Sometimes MVP, yes. But anyway, Gastineau is defined by it, and his life, he feels he would make more money if he was the all-time sack leader,
yeah,
and everything
he would.
Else.
And then I get
as far as memorabilia.
Yeah, you can charge more. I understand that, but he's still one of the all-time greats. But like, that was a little bit serious there. Like,
yeah, like, it's not that serious. You're gonna go tackle Brett Favre? That's not gonna count.
No. And I love Brett. Like, yeah, you might hurt me.
Yeah. So anyway, Brett reaches out and put a thread up on his social media page at Brett Favre, because I want to be clear on the footage release showing a small dust up between me and Mark Gastineau. He goes, back in 2002 when Strahan sacked me at the end of the game that we had wrapped up, I was in no way trying to hurt Mark Gastineau. I was trying to close out a game and squeeze the last bit of fun out of a hard fought game. I booted out of a run, thinking it'd be wide open. I saw Strahan standing there, and I ducked down. Game was over. Mm. Something that Tom Brady has done probably 100 times.
I agree. No, listen, I don't even think Mark Gastineau was in the back of his mind or the front of his mind in that moment. But that's mighty bold of Gastineau to say, yeah, you've hurt me, when and there was no intention of taking anything
Favre
away from
wraps it up to your point, says, in a different game or situation, I would have made a bigger effort to avoid the sack, but at no point was I thinking about hurting a dude.
No.
In other words, Mark Gastineau. Yeah. So, as I said, Gastineau is just, it's tough. It's a little cringeworthy, and I'm looking forward to seeing, not necessarily that part of it, but Joe Klecko is still one of my favorite NFL players who finally got in the Hall of Fame.
Those guys had, at the time, not right there, but those guys had a lot of personality, man. That was a fun group to watch. That's what made the sack exchange a fun group.
Hey, man, are you ready for Sonic 3?
No. Why should I be?
I saw an interview last night. It was pretty funny. I'm not a big fan of E.T., but I was slipping around, and I saw Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey is on. He's playing the villainous Dr. Robotnik in the upcoming action-adventure movie Sonic the Hedgehog 3. When asked about why he'd come back to do it, well, you know, I came back to this universe because, first of all, I get to play a genius, which is a bit of a stretch. And also, I bought a lot of stuff, and I need the money.
Oh, okay. So he needed a big check.
Well, I appreciate his honesty.
I do, too. Yeah. Didn't they shave his head for this, though?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Hey, man, a high school football coach in New Jersey is out of a job after he tells administrators that they were upset with him about telling his players you got to work out in the off season. What is this world coming to? Park Ridge High School in New Jersey, Chris. Is that where you used to grow up?
Yeah, North Jersey.
Home to Tony Soprano, actor James Gandolfini. They fired Jim Cleary. Now, granted, he did go 4-4-1 last year.
Well, he deserved to be fired.
First season, though.
Okay, he didn't deserve to be fired.
But he told his players, he provides, I think what you and I did in high school, there was an off-season training program.
Oh, there is for everybody.
And encouraging the kids to work out. And he was informed that apparently administrators needed to be informed of the plan before he sent it to the player. Sounds like they're just looking to fire the guy.
Yeah,
looking for any excuse.
I agree with that. I mean, I think, Mike, he got somebody upset. He won 4 games, though, first season?
4-4-1.
Yeah, all right.
He's 500 first year. I don't know how bad they were before he got there. I can't speak to that.
We won one game. Yeah.
I think that's the last time I actually did legs. Would have been the summer of 1985, just because Coach Peterson put that workout together.
Our coach used to show up at our gym to just have fun and play basketball and stuff. And our coaches would show up. They couldn't do anything because, you know, it was against the at that time UIL rules. But and he'd be like, "You're not working out." They'd take a look at you and literally go, "You're not doing the program." So, Mike, I'm with you. Like, everybody does this. Everybody has a plan to get bigger, stronger, faster, allegedly, in the off season at high school. That's what it's about.
Oh, hey, Maximum Bob, always listening,
watching,
judging. Apparently, there are some new algorithms at play at Facebook, and if you are looking at people of a certain biometric, they will then find people that are similar to send you to look at.
So what you looking at, Mike?
If it's a friend request from somebody who happens to be attractive, perhaps I took a gander at it, okay?
A gander? A gander?
A passing glance.
A passing glance?
And then the algorithms say, oh, he likes skinny blondes.
Oh.
You know, anyway, there you go. On that note, before I get myself in more trouble with my wife, who's always listening, watching, judging, that's Guy Talk, brought to you by Duke's Bill. Hey, man, Ale. Taylor and the guys fighting the good fight out there at the brewery and open for business, so give them some business out there in Greensboro, Georgia.
Coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. All right. How is Jimmy Lake and Raheem Morris going to get the defensive secondary back on track after that awful performance last week? It's something we'll discuss next.